Words from the prophet Malachi. I'm sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, says the prophet. And then those words from Luke's gospel, where Zechariah is speaking about his baby son, John. He says, you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. Preparation. It's what Advent is all about. And perhaps our preparations during this COVID season, if I can call it that, are more cautious, as with last year, than in the past, as we tentatively plan Christmas celebrations. But it is nonetheless a time for preparation, working out if visits will be possible, shopping, perhaps online. Maybe we've not done that before, but we think I'll try a toe in the water this time. Shopping for gifts, for extra food goodies, making these wonderful Advent decorations for the church. I'm afraid I chickened out, but others obviously didn't. Lovely. All sorts of things that we're preparing. Be prepared. I believe that's still the motto of the Scouts and Guides. Someone apparently asked Baden-Powell once, be prepared for what? Why any old thing, he said, apparently. Our readings tell us to be prepared, not for any old thing, but for the coming of God. So, as ever, let's not miss the point of our personal preparations, our family preparations, in the activity of the season, and try to prepare our hearts. In the village, there are going to be Advent windows again, and this year there will be a QR code. Ask me afterwards if you don't know what that is. It's one of those things with a little box that looks like a barcode, but it's a square. And one of those beside each window to scan on a mobile phone. And that will link people to some content. Readings, reflections, puzzles, I understand. I'm not quite sure what. But an opportunity to explore the season of Advent in a new way. For us and for folk in the village. So if you're able, do have a walk around. And if you're not into QR codes or mobile phones, don't worry. I expect the windows themselves will be worth seeing. We've got something in the Mulberry Room, which is our contribution, or in the entranceway. And perhaps someone else can help with the extras if you're not a mobile phone user. So preparation, preparing ourselves as families, preparing our hearts for Christmas during this Advent season. Advent is also a time of waiting. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, compares this waiting for God's coming to the birth of a baby. Creation, he says, is groaning with birth pangs. And we too struggle, impatient for God to do something as we look around the world and see so much needs to be done. But we must be patient, is the message. And indeed, the version of the Bible called the message puts it like this. That is why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. And I assume it's like play on words there. In other words, God is at work, creating new life within us, recreating his world. And we must wait for all this to come to full term. And as with pregnancy, it cannot be hurried. The early Christians, like Jesus himself, indeed expected the world to end at any moment. By the time the Gospels were written, for a few hundred years, this had not happened. Well, not a few decades, rather than a few hundreds of years, beg your pardon. Laurence will be looking at me with that. After sort of, 50, 70 years, yet the world had not ended. And so how were Christians to live in these end times, they wondered. And the gospel message is that they should stay alert, stay watchful, because no one knows what the time will be. Jesus himself said to his followers, about that day and that hour, no one knows. Implication, not even he himself. Be prepared. When the day comes, there will be no more time, is the message. Use the waiting time to prepare yourself. In those words of Jesus, with all that urgency, are followed in Matthew's Gospel by three parables about what might be described as faithful waiting. There's one about a slave who's put in charge of the household while his master is away. Blessed is that slave whom his master will find at work when he arrives. And those of us who've been at work, as it were, in offices, might sort of think about that and remember times when, perhaps when we were younger, and you know, you make sure you're working when the boss is there. But it's not about that. It's about working when the boss isn't there. And then there are the 10 bridesmaids, the wise and foolish virgins, as we call them traditionally. They had to wait a long time for the bridegroom. And 5 were ready and alert when he came, and 5 were not. And the third of the parables, which is in that little section, is the parable of the talents. Servants entrusted with large amounts of money by their master when he's away. How do they use it? And out of this, there seem to be 3 distinct aspects of this faithful waiting. One is about being prepared, having oil in the lamp, like the wise bridesmaids, getting things ready like the baby, like for the expectant parents, preparing our hearts for God's coming, preparing the way, as God does in sending his messengers, the messenger promised by Malachi, John the Baptist, who heralds Jesus' coming. God makes preparations and invites his people to do the same. So preparing. But there's also being alert, being awake, ready to welcome the bridegroom when he comes. It's easy to be discouraged when there's delay. We don't like waiting. And so often these days, because of lack of staff in organisations and so on, we seem to have to wait quite a long time if we're trying to get anything done. And we find that very difficult. New babies can come at unexpected moments. Pregnant mums have to be alert as to how their bodies feel as the time draws near. All of us need patience and faith at times of waiting. So being prepared, being alert, but also carrying on with life, doing the things we should be doing, like the faithful slave waiting for his master's return, like the servants who put the money that they're left with to good use, like the expectant mum who can't sit around for 9 months doing nothing, must get on with everyday life as far as she can. Being prepared, being alert, and carrying on with life. Aspects, I suggest, of faithful waiting. And God seems to keep his people waiting. Well, they were waiting in captivity in Egypt, waiting 40 years to enter the promised land, waiting in exile in Babylon, waiting for the Messiah, waiting for the kingdom. There's a pattern there somewhere. And perhaps it is in order to develop this faithful waiting of trust and dependence on God. So what are the implications for us of this idea of faithful waiting? What are we waiting for? I began to think about our search as a church for a youth worker. We were certainly prepared. Lots of discussion at elders and at church meeting about the way to go, and this is a way to go. Lots of work done in preparing job description, adverts, and putting it out in all the places that you do. We were prepared. But we've needed patience. 3 rounds of adverts without being able to appoint a suitable person. Were we doing the right thing? What was God trying to tell us? We've also been carrying on with life, not just in our church generally, but youth-wise. Pulse has been meeting with input from Phyllis. A very successful parent talk for parents of teenagers, organised by Mark and a community church parent. So life has been going on. But also being alert to another possible way forward. So as we heard at church meeting, the possibility of a Time for God volunteer, a young person, probably from Europe, to work in our church. God perhaps leading us in a slightly different direction to the way we were expecting. So again, a pattern of faithful waiting. In the wider world, 2,000 years have passed since Christ's death and resurrection. And so unlike the first Christians, we're not waiting for the imminent end of the world. Or are we? Climate change is, of course, very much an issue at the moment, a real threat to our world for the future, of which we've been increasingly reminded we need to take action now, with our own personal use of resources, as well as resources from responses from nations and communities and leaders. And I'm sure we'll be constantly reminding ourselves of this in the coming months. And here perhaps the watchword is not so much waiting, there's been rather a lot of that, rather perhaps being alert to the impact of our Western lifestyles on the planet and on all who live there, especially the poorest, and being alert to the need for change. And so we are called to continue in faithful discipleship day by day in our lives and in the life of the church. I read somewhere that the Advent journey is less about arriving than about how we journey. And perhaps that's true for the whole of our journey of faith. Something about having a vision for the future while continuing faithfully in the present. And expecting that God will do his part in his good time. Amen.